Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Text line is telling us that Le'Veon Bell can't play in the game because he has to go through COVID protocol. Certainly kills any excitement for Dolphins and Jets. My excitement level was already at a 2. It could potentially get to a 5 if Le'Veon Bell was going to go against his former team the next week. Now that COVID is here, my excitement for that game is now at a -1. So it all changed very, very quickly.
Got to pass the quarantine. Got to pass the physical. So, yeah, I mean, if you sign him, you don't get him this week, but I would assume you get him still for the last, whatever that would be, 9 or 10 games.
So we have a busy 5 o'clock hour. Coming up momentarily, we'll get to the hits. Coming up momentarily, we'll also replay Kurt Warner. The reason we're replaying it is it cost me $17. He was supposed to go on the night show with Jay Binkley. I traded a Chipotle burrito, double meat, and a six-pack in order for us to have Kurt Warner on our show. So the fact that I pay for Kurt Warner means we really should have played the Kurt Warner interview every 30 minutes. That's how
natural
important this interview
was. A six-pack will cost you like $1.80.
This how much it is. So we're going to replay the Kurt Warner interview. Sean Barber is actually on time for the first time this entire season. That's how I know the Chiefs didn't play well last week. He has so much to say. But right now we'll head to the phone line to be joined by Josh Tolentino. He covers the Miami Dolphins for The Athletic. He and Nate Taylor had the report that Le'Veon Bell has it down to Kansas City and Miami. Josh, how's it going, my man?
Carrington, good, bro. Man, it's going to be tough to follow up Kurt Warner. But, man, it feels like just yesterday you and me were walking out the Arrowhead parking lot after Brett Veach got hired. It's been a minute since then, so it's good to catch up.
I appreciate you coming on today. Let's start here. Tell us what your report is about Le'Veon Bell and that it's down to two teams, Kansas City and Miami.
Yeah, obviously after a turbulent 19 months in New York that they parted ways this week. And this morning, there was an ESPN report, first reported by ESPN, that it came down to a final three between Buffalo, Kansas City, and Miami. In discussing with several people around the league, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, me and Nate were able to uncover that. It sounds like it's going to be between these two teams, Kansas City and obviously down here in Miami. Those are very two different opposite ends of the spectrum, I think, in terms of what they offer. Obviously, with the Chiefs, everyone up there knows how dynamic that offense is. It puts him in a super, super kind of right there contention to be able to compete for a Super Bowl. But he does call Miami home, and he trains here in the off season. He owns a property down here, so there are some benefits to both sides. And not just that, from what we've heard, the Dolphins are willing to open the bag, to open the wallet, to hopefully, in what they see, acquire Le'Veon.
Right now we're talking to Josh Tolentino. He covers the Miami Dolphins for The Athletic. He and Nate Taylor are reporting that Le'Veon has it down to two teams, Kansas City and Miami. When you say the bag, what kind of dollar amount are we talking for Le'Veon Bell, who is getting $5.5 million already from the Jets?
Yeah, I haven't heard an exact dollar amount, Carrington, but I did hear that they are willing to open up discussion for a multi-year deal. And when I say multi, I mean like at least 2 years. When you're talking more than 1 year, that is obviously going to come with a higher price tag. So I think that's kind of what intrigues him most, in addition to living and training down here, is that the Dolphins, they've got some money to play with. I think they've got about $29 million in cap room for next season. So they definitely have money to spend. And not just that, this past off season, the Dolphins showed that they aren't afraid to spend. They spent the most money in free agency this past offseason, almost $200 million in free agents, including two running backs, Matt Breida and Jordan Howard, who so far, it hasn't worked out there in Miami's backfield. So, when a guy like Le'Veon Bell is on the market, they're going to listen.
Yeah, the Plaza in Kansas City is pretty dope, but not as dope as Ocean Drive down there in Miami. I'm just saying. I was there earlier this year for the Super Bowl. You mentioned the running back situation with the Dolphins right now. If they sign Le'Veon Bell, does he immediately become their feature back?
You know, I think eventually he would, but right now it's been surprising, guys. Last year, the Dolphins, they were the worst rushing team in the league statistically across every category. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick led the team in rushing. Anytime your quarterback is leading the team in rushing and his name isn't Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, it's probably not a good sign. So, you know, what do? They go out and add two veteran backs. They traded for Matt Breida, and then they signed Jordan Howard in free agency to a pretty significant deal, 2 years, about $9 million owed to him. And actually, Jordan Howard was inactive this past Sunday in San Francisco. He just hasn't worked out for them. He's been relegated to a short down, short yard type of role. I think his stats, he's got 18 carries, only 14 yards. So the Jordan Howard experience is not working out in Miami. Matt Breida, he's still got some juice, but they've got to find a way to incorporate him more in the offense. Their lead back hasn't been either of those guys. It's been Miles Gaskin, a second-year back out of Washington. But even, you know, his story is nice, and he's been one of the most improved players on the team. But the Dolphins, I think they ranked 30th, somewhere down there at the very end in terms of yards per carry. So if there's an upgrade out there, they're definitely listening.
How bad do you think that the Dolphins want or need Le'Veon Bell? Because maybe I'm wrong, but my opinion here in Kansas City is just that if he landed here, it would be nice, but they certainly don't need him. They won the Super Bowl last year. What's the feeling in Miami as far as the want and need for Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily need him. I think the in-house options at running back they just need to find a way to involve Matt Breida more. I mean, he's one of the fastest players in the NFL. They've got to find a way to get him some touches, either, you know, as a slot back, you know, finding him reps in the passing game, somehow incorporating him more. But they definitely need to run more effectively. Some of that falls on the offensive line. They've got a totally revamped offensive line, 4 newcomers, 3 rookies. So that's obviously a big part to the puzzle too. But in terms of need versus want, I feel like it might be more of a want right now. The need is that they do need to improve the rushing game.
Last question here, Josh. We appreciate your time. Where do you think he's going to go between Kansas City and Miami, and what kind of timetable do you think we'll see on a Le'Veon Bell signing?
Yeah, unless it was like a significant amount of money, and history has shown, obviously him going to New York, that he does chase the higher price tag. You know, under that circumstance, you could see him ending up in Miami. But at the same time, you think of the circumstance, if he really does want to win, I mean, the choice is pretty simple of going to Kansas City and letting Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes do their thing in terms of incorporating him. I know they've got their own backfield situation there and the young rook, but I think he'd add just another piece to that explosive offense there in Kansas City.
That is Josh Tolentino. He works with The Athletic. He covers the Miami Dolphins. He and Nate Taylor are reporting that Le'Veon Bell has it narrowed down between Kansas City and Miami. Josh, appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Have a good one. We'll see where he ends up.
Absolutely. That is Josh Tolentino joining us today on the show. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll catch up with Kurt Warner. We had the Hall of Fame quarterback on the show earlier today. We will replay that for you coming up momentarily. But before we do that, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The Hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go around the room really quickly. Where do you think Le'Veon Bell ends up? If it's narrowed down to 2 teams, Kansas City and Miami, where do you think Le'Veon Bell signs?
I think it's going to be Miami. I think it's going to be Miami because, essentially, does he want to play in bigger games or does he want to get more of an opportunity? Because in Kansas City, yeah, you can play in the playoffs and maybe play in the Super Bowl. There's some huge stages. Maybe touch the ball 5 to 8 times a game with Edwards-Helaire. Everybody that we brought on says that he'd probably be the feature back down there in Miami right away, which gives him a better opportunity for the future and probably a little bit more money down in Miami also. Of course, I don't know that. I would just think that the Chiefs, if he's coming to Kansas City, he's getting the least amount of money they can possibly spend. Miami's got a little bit more flexibility there. So 51-49 at this point, Miami over Kansas City.
I think that Le'Veon Bell has a lot of Carmelo Anthony tendencies. Carmelo Anthony at every step in his career has always showed the opportunity that made him more money. He's always sacrificed his ability to win for a team that gave him the best chance at putting more money in his bank account. I'm starting to think that Le'Veon Bell is the exact same way. I firmly believe that Le'Veon Bell wants to play in Kansas City. I also firmly believe that the Chiefs want Le'Veon Bell here. And the only reason that this is a constant discussion is because Le'Veon Bell is trying to figure out a way to squeeze more money out of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have the room to certainly play hardball and say, hey, this is our offer. We're not going to outbid the Miami Dolphins. We don't need you on the team. We certainly would like you. We think you're a good fit, but you're not a need for this team, where I'm with you. I do think ultimately the fact that he hasn't signed yet with Kansas City, I still think that the money and the opportunity of Miami will win out. But I do think there is a lot of smoke of the direction of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you ask me right now, I'd pick Miami. I think he's going to choose the money over the ring.
It's also how much faith does he have in the Chiefs winning another Super Bowl? Because if it was a foregone conclusion and he knows that the Chiefs are going to go on and win the Super Bowl, which obviously it's not, the ring means something. Like, once you've got the ring and you're hitting the offseason and you're 29 years old, somebody will tack on another couple of million bucks. So that's another thing to consider, because you're not getting the ring down in Miami.
Two. I'm getting a winning record.
Maybe. We'll see.
I mean, screw the ring. That team ain't winning nine games this year.
They might go 9-7. They beat San Francisco. They might go 9-7.
That team ain't winning nine games this year.
Probably not.
We're short on time for a replay of Kurt Warner, so our one and only hit today will be this. Sean, the Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite over the Bills for Monday, but you have been steadfast all season, saying Chiefs line's been way too low all year long. But you believe this line's actually too big? What?
Just a little bit too big. I think the Chiefs should be favored. I think the Chiefs should be like a 1-point favorite. It feels a little bit like a pick'em game. Both teams have the same record. Both teams coming off a loss, and the game is in Buffalo. Both teams have a really good young quarterback. So it just feels more like a 1-1.5-point line. But the fact that it's 3-3.5 surprised me a little bit. But you know, I'm still playing the Chiefs.
Can you just answer this question for me? Have you let Derek Carr shake your faith in Kansas City?
A little bit.
Because it wasn't that long ago. I was crazy for not wanting to talk about this team going undefeated. They have more talent than any team in the history of the league. This is the best offense we've ever seen. Now they're a pick'em against Josh Allen in Buffalo in front of no fans. You've let Nelson Aguilar, Henry Ruggs, and Derek Carr do this to your faith, my man?
A little bit. Like, when the Chiefs were up 14-3 in that game and I was laying like 12.5 points, I was feeling so good, and then it was 24-24, and then I kept looking at the scoreboard, and the Raiders kept scoring, and the Chiefs didn't. I mean, if you think about that line, the Chiefs went off as, I want to say, a 13-point favorite, and they got that touchdown at the end of the game, but still ended up losing by 8. Bro, when you lose against the Raiders on a Las Vegas line by 21 points, which is probably more like 28 points, yeah, it shook me a little bit. Sorry.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by Sean Barber. The only human being more positive on the Chiefs than Sean Levine is Sean Barber. Something tells me he will get your faith back right coming up in just a little bit. But earlier today, you and I were joined by the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner, also with NFL Network. Our conversation started with, so Kurt was supposed to go on the night show with Jay Binkley. We traded for the rights for Kurt Warner to come on our show. We had to trade a Chipotle burrito, double meat, and a six-pack of Jay Binkley's choice. We told this to Kurt Warner.
I am worth one burrito. Well, let's hope it was a good six-pack, I guess.
Right now, we're very happy to be joined by Kurt Warner. Let's start here. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback. What do you make of this quarterback matchup on Monday between Mahomes and Josh Allen?
Well, I mean, I'm excited to see it like everybody else. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge fan of Patrick Mahomes and what he brings, and you know, the completeness to his game, and then obviously the unbelievable talent. And you know, I've been excited to watch Josh Allen continue to progress. You know, every year what you're looking for. You know, when he came out, I think everybody felt he was a bit of a project, hadn't played a lot of football, and it was going to take some time. And every year he just seems to get better and better and better, and obviously, you know, outside of Tuesday night, he's played some phenomenal football. So it's going to be fun. Anytime you can get two marquee guys that are playing at the quarterback position, you know, leading their teams on the big stage, it's a must-watch for me, and I can't wait to see it.
I was going to ask you about Josh Allen. I've been surprised at his improvement from an accuracy standpoint, but watching him, what do you think he still needs to improve upon? Because on Tuesday, we did see Allen struggle against the Titans.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Josh Allen is he's got to continually get more and more comfortable inside the pocket and to continually develop a plan. You know, I talk about this all the time, is that as a quarterback, you got to always have a plan, because, the play might be designed for one thing, and it's great if you get that and the game becomes easy. But then you have to have a plan if that doesn't work out or if you don't get exactly what you're expecting. And I think the biggest thing with Josh is that he needs to continually work on having a plan beyond just number one, and his plan has been, if I don't have my first guy, run around and create. And he's been unbelievable at that. I mean, he's been great with his legs, whether that's, running or buying time and making big plays. But I just think that's a hard world to live in. No matter how talented you are, is to think you're going to make those kind of plays week in and week out at the highest level against the greatest teams. You have to be better at having a plan, playing on schedule, making, the plays you're supposed to make, and then add those special plays. And so, to me, that's really where Josh Allen needs to get better. He's great on the first read, as you said. He's getting more accurate. He's making big plays. He's great at ad-libbing. But it's that intermediate stuff in between that I think he needs to grow and get better to become a complete player.
Kurt, when you're watching some of the best offenses in today's football, like, say, the Chiefs from a couple of years ago when they put up, I think it was like 35.7 points per game, as the guy, the quarterback, the greatest show on turf, do you even humor the idea that maybe that offense was better than yours?
I try not to humor it too much. you try to hold on to those things, and because it's across the eras, we'll never know. So we're always going to try to hang on to what we did. And it is. It's always so tough to try to compare, especially across eras, especially where the game is right now. It's such a completely different game, from a rule standpoint, from a design standpoint, than it was when we played. I think you see, the great Bronco teams, the great Patriot teams, that great Chiefs team you're talking about. And without question, you sit back and go, man, this is fun to watch, and these guys are really, really good. And you appreciate the greatness of those teams. If we ever got into an argument, I'd, of course, argue for my guys and our team, because I do believe we ushered in kind of this new NFL, and we did it at a time when the rules weren't designed for offenses. And I think that what separates us maybe a little bit, and because of the unbelievable talent that we had. But, it's always a great argument and a fun argument, and there's been a lot of great offensive teams over the years.
The two guys, since I've been doing this in the game of football, that I just think are the nicest human beings ever, Kurt, would be Ron Jaworski and Dick Vermeil. Do you still ever get a chance to keep up with him, and what was it like being able to win the Super Bowl for that guy?
Yeah, I talk to Dick quite often. We text back and forth, and we definitely stay in touch. And, I'll tip my hat that it's more Coach Vermeil than it probably is me. I could do a better job with that. And Coach Vermeil has always been incredible in terms of his relationship with his players. You can go all the way back to guys that played for him when they were in high school, and they say the same thing about him, that he's always reaching out. He's always trying to stay in touch and find out what's going on in people's lives. And so he is incredible in that regard, and that carried over to the way that he coached. And it's why everybody that ever played for him loved playing for him and wanted to play for him and wanted to go out there and give their best, because they had a coach that truly cared about them. And I look back now, and it's kind of funny to me, because I have such a great relationship with Coach Vermeil, and we're so close. And when I think back on my career, I feel like I played for Coach Vermeil for 10 years. And, because we have that relationship and all of those things. And when you look back at it, I was actually only with the Rams 2 years that Dick was there. And it was only the year that we won the Super Bowl where I was playing and he was my head coach. But he's had that kind of an impression upon me that I feel like I played for him for a decade. And it just speaks to the man and the character and the impression that he leaves upon the people that come in his path.
Right now, we're talking to Kurt Warner. He is with NFL Network. He is an analyst. You can catch him every Sunday on NFL Game Day morning starting at 8 a.m. Central. I want to ask you a couple wide receiver questions and how they affect the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not going to have Sammy Watkins, who is out with the hamstring. Whenever you lost a receiver on one of your teams, what kind of effect did that have? Because watching Sammy Watkins, he just opens the field up for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a top-notch receiver. And, you know, the one fortunate thing that I had a number of times in my career was, you know, we look at a lot of teams and we go, okay, they got their number one receiver and then they've got their number two receiver. And what always, you know, helped me and made some of the teams I was on special was that we would have at least two number one receivers, whether it was Isaac and Torrey, whether it was Anquan and Larry, that I had two number ones. And having two number ones, it really helps define things for you offensively. And then if you can add another guy to the mix. So, I mean, you got Tyreek Hill, a legit number one. You got Travis Kelce, a legit number one. You got Sammy Watkins, a legit number one. And so anytime you have those difference-making players and guys that you know are a matchup problem, no matter who on the other team matches up against them, it's a difference-maker for your team. And so to lose any of those guys definitely hurts. Now, doesn't mean they don't have some other guys that can obviously play and run and do some of the things, you know, that Sammy Watkins can do. But I think Sammy Watkins is more complete than the other guys that they have, and that's what you miss, is having a guy that's more complete, can do everything, that you can count on to make big plays and step up big in big moments. So it definitely hurts, but, you know, the cupboard is not there. And they still have plenty of options in which they can play their game and they can stretch the field and they can play to their strengths, even without Sammy in there.
Kurt, a guy I want to ask you about is Mecole Hardman. You guys had a player in Oz Hakeem who was sort of in the same role. What are the challenges in turning a player like that into a every down wide receiver? Because I would say Kansas City, that they've sort of struggled to do the same thing with Hardman.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first thing you have to realize is that not every receiver is built or made to be a number one receiver, meaning that, you know, you can put them anywhere on the field. They can do anything. They can, you know, they can live under that pounding. They can run every kind of route. That's just not the nature of every player. And so that's why those guys are so special. And then other times you have to have guys that are role players. And so, you know, Oz was a perfect fit for us. What he was as a slot receiver, what he was run after catch, you know, the ability to put him in positions where it truly played to his strength, was who he was. You know, he left the Rams and ended up signing a contract with Detroit to kind of be more of a number one guy, and it never really solidified. He was never able to become that guy. It doesn't mean he wasn't a great receiver and could be as effective as a number one. It just meant that his skill set didn't play to him being in a certain role that you usually ask a number one receiver to play. And that really becomes oftentimes the bigger question is, we want everybody to become a number one receiver, but not everybody is built to be a number one receiver. Some guys are going to be limited in the routes that they can run, the positions on the field that they can play, and you've got to be able to accept that. And the key is, you need those guys. You have to have guys like that fit around your number one guys to make you a complete offense and allow you to do what you want to do. So it's not a knock on somebody that they're not built that way, but I'm just not sure Mecole at this point in time shows me that he can be that route runner and he can play in every spot and he can win on every different kind of route. I just haven't seen that yet from him as a young kid, which is okay, because there's certain things he does that are special and different. You just got to make sure you put him in those spots more often than not, and then use your more complete players to fill in the gaps.
Kurt, we were just talking about this before you came on, thinking back on your career and some of the unlikely things you were able to accomplish. When you're just chilling in the man cave, what part of your career do you think was more unlikely to happen that ended up being a wild success, your career with the Rams or your career later on with the Cardinals?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I was doing just a podcast yesterday, and it kind of came up in that podcast. And, you know, it's funny because I think both of them, Yeah, I guess you got to probably say that the first part was more unlikely. I mean, to go from where I was and playing arena football and, you know, the whole grocery store thing, and then, you know, coming on the scene like I did and having the success that we did early, I think is definitely more unlikely. But I take a lot of pride in the second chapter, you know, when everybody thought I couldn't do it anymore, and then maybe more importantly, my marriage with the Cardinals, because nobody ever thought the Cardinals could do it. Nobody thought I could do it at that time. And to be able to help, you know, lift an organization and be a part of, you know, that turnaround at the end of my career. And I think there's something to, you know, I look back at certain things, and like the second to last game I played in my career, the last game I played in Arizona in the playoffs, you could argue was the greatest game that I ever played in my career. And so there was something, you know, that I take great pride in the fact that I really felt like I played just as well, if not better, football at the very end of my career as I did at the beginning of my career. And, you know, as a player, I think that's part of what you want to be your legacy. You want people to remember you playing your best football, you know, regardless of the moment in time. And, you know, I felt like I was able to do that in Arizona. So I really enjoyed and take great pride in what we accomplished here in Arizona. But, you know, if I'm choosing one or the other, I'm probably choosing the Rams just because of how it played out and how things took off so quickly that first year.
That is a Super Bowl champion. He also won Super Bowl MVP, two-time NFL MVP. He also is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You can catch him on NFL Network. He is an analyst every Sunday on NFL Game Day morning at 8 a.m. Central. You can also catch Chiefs and Bills this Monday on Fox, NFL Network, or Amazon Prime at 4 o'clock. Kurt, it was an honor to have you on our show today. Thanks a lot for coming on.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys down the road, hopefully.
Always an honor to catch up with the Hall of Fame player. Coming up next, we'll be joined by a Hall of Fame player in our hearts. Sean Barber joins the show next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
We got breaking news right now brought to you by Indeed.com from Adam Schefter. Le'Veon Bell is expected to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is from Adam Schefter of ESPN. I would have told you that from Twitter, but Twitter is broken right now. But according to Adam Schefter, Le'Veon Bell expected to join the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, can you turn on ESPN real quick? I'm going to turn it up because I think they're actually talking about it right now. I think Sage Steele is actually going to announce what I just told you guys. Adam Schefter is on the phone right now on ESPN. We're very happy to be in studio with Sean Barber for this breaking news. Sean, let's start here. What do you make of the breaking news? Le'Veon Bell, a member of the Chiefs.
They say it is what it is. That's a Sam Cook saying from Kansas City. That's where it's at, man. Kansas City is where it's at. And so that's where our man Le'Veon Bell has decided to come on and finish up the season, hopefully be a good addition to the team.
How much do you think he has left in the tank?
Oh, I think he has a whole lot left in the tank. It wasn't many years ago where he was putting up, I think, 3 or 5 seasons of 1,800 combined yards for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know people think that's many moons ago, but in NFL time, he hasn't had a bunch of hits on his body. He's been pretty much fresh, been put on the shelf for 1 year, set out due to a holdout. And besides that, she's been kind of waiting for the right situation, I think, for to kind of unleash his talents back on the NFL. So looking forward to Le'Veon getting back on the field.
I think a lot of it really comes down to the evaluation of Bell is how much do you put on him, the player, and him not having it anymore? Or the other half, how much do you put on the offensive line and sort of the situation that exists for the Jets? I'm with you. I don't think he's the same player that he was in 2015 or 2016, but can he come in here and be a capable number two running back? Can he be what you got from LeSean McCoy last year and average 4.5 yards per carry and be better out of the backfield? I think he can be. I think it's a good move.
Well, you know, against our offense, you cannot have safeties and linebackers lurking around the 5-10 yard mark from the line of scrimmage. You have to keep your safeties deep and your linebackers deeper. You got to protect top down against Pat Mahomes, and so that leaves so much area and so much room for operation from a running back running arrow routes, swing routes, the screen game. And that's the three things this guy does. When you talk about the passing game, he does it at a very high level.
Right now, we are giving you the breaking news. Le'Veon Bell is expected to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is courtesy of Adam Schefter. Le'Veon Bell is going to sign right here in Kansas City for the Chiefs.
Yeah, now that he's coming here, obviously we can talk about what it actually means instead of what it could have meant. And I do agree with you, like for goal line situations, out of the backfield, pass blocking, And I don't know how big of a deal you think this is, Barber, but they got this guy in Edwards-Helaire who's just a rookie, and now they got this guy in Le'Veon Bell who's a veteran. You could think they could teach him a little something too.
Oh, definitely. It's going to definitely be a 1-2 punch. Le'Veon will bring the experience of how to run downhill, short yardage game, how to be, the patience. That's one thing that's been very unique to Le'Veon Bell's running game. He's such a patient runner. He always lets his blocks develop. And sometimes when young runners get to the league, they rush through their reads. They just want to be physical, go downhill. They run into the back sometimes of their own players. And that is something that comes with just experience. And Le'Veon Bell is somebody who can teach that and actually show it to him in real time, and also saved this young guy some wear and tear on his body. It's going to be a long season. In college, you only play 10, 11 games a year, and then in the pros, you come playing, almost 20 weeks of football. Sometimes you hit that wall, and so it might be a good break to kind of alleviate some of those carries and kind of maybe split the carries between Le'Veon and CEH.
You say split, you mean like down the middle? Because I always assumed that if Le'Veon Bell came here, he would certainly be a backup to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Well, I mean, I don't know if backup fits Le'Veon Bell. I mean, when you have somebody who's who's talented and you have a chance to get him on the field for a series, I think you go, put him in for a series. If that series he's hot, put him back the next series. I mean, I don't think this has ever been an offense where anybody feels like they're being downplayed or, and we don't have a locker room where people cry for the football. Andy Reid has a great scheme that keeps everybody involved on multiple levels, and you have a quarterback that keeps everybody alive, and that's including the tight ends and running backs.
Speaking of that quarterback, is this the Mahomes magnet, the effect that we've been talking about, where if you got a choice, you might as well come and play with Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I mean, I think we saw that in the offseason, getting 20 of 22 starters coming back from a Super Bowl winning team. Yeah. I mean, that's so unlikely in the free agent period because every team wants a person off that Super Bowl team. And all the players that were out there that were wanted, each player made a decision. It's better to come back to Kansas City and try to run it back with Pat Mahomes than it is to go to these new teams and try to find another way to win. And I think that we saw that today. Another free agent decides – have the opportunity to come to Kansas City or someplace else. I mean, I'd rather try to win it a Super Bowl here with Pat Mahomes than go to another city and have to deal with more of what he just left in New York.
I want to go back to something you said, because what excites me the most about this is being a short yardage runner. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has gotten 7 carries this year inside the 5-yard line and has not scored a touchdown on any of those 5 plays. Or any of those 7 plays, that's where I think he's maybe most needed on this team, and that's where I think his greatest impact could be. I'm also really excited about him catching the ball out of the backfield and now lining up in the slot and kind of using his pass catching. Like, I think he's a really versatile weapon that I think Andy Reid's going to get the most out of him. I think we're all kind of at different stages on how much he has left in the tank, but if he has anything left in the tank, this is the right situation to get it out of you.
Again, one of the things you find from young backs is they rush to read. When it's a short yardage and you think you need to get that 1 yard, you don't want the coach to ever say you didn't hit the hole hard. And sometimes it takes a veteran to come and understand, hey, when they got duo blocks, that means 2 bigs on a big, and they're going to duo up to the second level, that duo block is going to hold that defensive tackle, that defensive end, so you don't have to worry about that guy penetrating. And you can take a little bit of extra step to make sure that you let that block develop so you can get that 1, 2, 3 yards, and you don't just have to, put your head down and just try to run over somebody, especially these 300-pound defensive linemen. So I think adding a little patience to the game and him being able to see it happening on the field and practicing and having somebody in the locker room and in his in the running back room, and he can just, you'll watch it. You'll see what Le'Veon is seeing and why he's, what situations he's using that patience. And when you talk about that stop and go, we were on the other end of it, right? We saw it plenty of times, twice, I remember, here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
We couldn't stop that young man. It's such a beautiful thing to watch, the stop and go, the patience, the excitement and the quickness that he has in those first steps. And then with his hands and his blocking ability in the passing game, he's not a detriment in passing downs. He is one of the best blockers when you talk about running backs in the game as far as pass protection. So you don't have to worry about that angle of being able to expose Pat because he's not a willing blocker.
Right now we're talking to Sean Barber. If you missed it, the breaking news, Le'Veon Bell is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs as reported by Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter is reporting that it is a done deal. Le'Veon Bell will be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Sean, do we oversell that when it comes to veteran guys sort of teaching the young players? Because if you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm thinking of, is there a better running back in the NFL that you would want to sort of be your mentor and where your skill set's very similar to Le'Veon Bell? Do we oversell that in the media, or how much of that is really going on in NFL locker rooms where it is an older guy like Bell, former All-Pro, kind of showing the young guy the ropes?
By the way, Barber, thanks for bringing up that game where Bell torched the Chiefs. I completely got that out of my
head. One that happened four times.
There's that one game where he averaged like 5.8 yards per carry. I mean, yeah, he did it a couple of times.
Hey, man, I'm good with my scars. All of them, they heal up, and you know, we walk around with these championship rings, and you got to realize it's not just Dubs that won this championship ring. There's some L's. We took some L's. That made the team kind of come together and stand packed together. There were some guys, some fallen soldiers that had to fall to win this championship. And going into this season, there's going to be some games that we don't win. Obviously, like last week against the Raiders, there's going to be some games we don't win. But you don't worry about wins. You worry about did you lose the game, or did you learn from it? And even though you know, on the scoreboard, it doesn't end up the right way. Some teams lose and don't learn. We can't be that way. We have to always be growing. Evolving as a team on offense and defense and special teams, not forgetting about special teams. Sometimes that's forgotten. But this can keep moving forward because this team knows what it takes to win a championship. It knows what it takes to be playoff bound. It knows what it takes to play on a high level. And as long as they keep moving in that direction, I think Le'Veon Bell moves us closer to that direction. That finished product we want to see, a playoff-ready team, I think Le'Veon Bell as a unit, as far as that running back room, as far as on this offense and on this team, he makes the complete process, what the leftover is, what you see with the Kansas City Chiefs, a more explosive offense, another version, another threat coming out the backfield. And it's impossible to me to think how you're going to try to cover 60-yard downfield with Tyreek Hill, 20 yards downfield with Kelsey, and then if you have Clyde Helaire wheeling out one way, Bell going out the other way. I mean, it's only so many parts of the field you can guard, and Pat Mahomes is a master at finding the weakness in the defense and has the arm to always deliver the ball on target.
So Le'Veon Bell has played four games against the Kansas City Chiefs. He has 87 carries for 507 yards.
Goodness.
That is good for 5.83 yards per attempt. So it wasn't one game that he cooked the Kansas City
game.
Chiefs. He has cooked the Chiefs every time they have gone up against them.
Guys.
And from everybody I've heard, they love, like, the Chiefs and Andy Reid love Le'Veon Bell. Like, 2 years ago, I think they were interested. He just wasn't in the financial space for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I think that Reid is really excited about the things that he can do with Le'Veon
Bell. And obviously, Brett Veach loves him, too. How about that guy? I mean, not that this wasn't his best move this season, because there have been a lot of other ones. But this is one of those, like, he always makes sure that he's in on every single deal, whether it's a big deal or whether it's just a move like this, Barber, that can help your football team. I mean, because you have to imagine it was going both ways. Le'Veon Bell was deciding where he was going to go, and those teams were pitching, here's why you should come here, right? It's Miami, it's South Beach, it's all these things. You'll get an opportunity. And then Brett Veach said, hey, here's what we got. We got Pat, you got a chance to win a ring. And now he adds Le'Veon Bell. Like, that dude, Brett Veach, is just unbelievable.
Man, he's done an amazing job. But, Jamie, like, you know, in trades, it always takes two to tango. But when a guy's a free agent, it doesn't take two to tango anymore. You just got to show him what you know. We talk about the process being so much greater than the product. If you stick by your process and you believe what you believe as far as a team, as an organization, and all the actions you're doing is showing that Kansas City is an elite level team. It's a great run organization. It's an organization that's built off of character, integrity, and these things. And you just keep moving forward with those concepts. Some players fit, some guys don't, and you move on. You don't worry about the guys you had to cut, release, or whatever. You move on. You keep transcending and keep transforming your team and your organization and your city to build a champion. And then when you have a championship ring, that draws. When you talk about the Pat Mahomes draw, the Mahomes magnet.
Yeah.
Believe you me, the world championship ring that he's wearing on his hand is one of the biggest magnets there is. And everybody believes that we have the personnel, the coaching staff, all together, the team and the organization to go back and running back and go back to back.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Barber. The breaking news is Le'Veon Bell is expected to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. It was first reported by Adam Schefter. It has now been reported by NFL Network. Le'Veon Bell is going to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Sean, this is a very difficult question, I know, for you to answer. What happened to the defense on Sunday?
I mean, It was a day of the week that things weren't clicking, right? You didn't see the amount of confidence in one another. You didn't see the trust factor. You didn't see the communication. You can blame that to, you know, having some different guys rotate in there. You know Chris Jones getting back in the mix, Breezy back in the mix. Willie Gay played a little bit more. So everybody's out there kind of with some different voices and some guys you don't really understand how they're going to hit certain plays and are they going to play with, you know, outside leverage, inside leverage? Do they understand where the help is? All these kind of things we've been working with, and there's been some chemistry there. And then we have to go, you know, you have to go through injuries and other people got to step up and play. Well, those, you know, it takes a while for guys to just, you know, get to playing with one another. And so I think that this team and this defense, especially on the defense side of the ball, the leadership has always been there. You know, Honey Badger and Frank Clark, they're going to lead this team where they're going to go, and that's going to end up being a top five defense in the league this year. But there are always some bumps and bruises. You got to, and like you said, man, you got to go through some things to get to some places. And in relationships, out there on the team and defensively, you don't know what you don't know. And so on the defense side of the ball, they got exposed on some shoot routes, some double moves. There was a time where I think maybe Ward thought he had some inside help from Sorensen and didn't realize he didn't have it. Those type of things are just, you know, they come and go through the season, and you just hope that all these things are definitely washed out and corrected by the time we get to the final four games of the season, where we got to be playing our best ball, gearing up and preparing for postseason play.
Sean, our last question here. We've got like 2 minutes left to breaking news. Le'Veon Bell is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We do this thing called Survivor. It's not really that big of a deal, but who do you have?
It's not big deal because you're not in it anymore.
It used to be cool.
It was the biggest deal. It was. I remember you being on social media begging people to vote for you.
I wasn't begging
you.
People.
You
were begging.
Please,
you were begging. I was advising people.
No, you were down on your hands and knees. That means you were begging.
Telling people to bet for me. Okay. I wasn't begging for people to bet for
it
me.
Was
I was suggesting
Hope
that
Harrington.
People should
get on the bandwagon right now before the season stops. Hope Harrington is going to win the Survivor. I remember these things going on social media, and I couldn't understand why anybody support somebody who lost in less than two weeks when they had two lives. That was your record last year. And this year, you almost eclipsed it, but you actually lasted 3 weeks, I think, this season.
I'm going for a month next year.
Now, yeah, next month. if it's called Survivor Month, you should definitely go with Karen. But I am taking the Indianapolis Colts to beat Joe Burrows and the Cincinnati Bengals. I do think we're going to get a lot of X's on the map today with the Survivor with that Miami pick. I think the Jets rise up.
Me too.
The Jets rise up and get that one win against their rival, the Miami Dolphins. So I avoided the Dolphins, and I went with the Indianapolis Colts.
You can tell that Sean Barber's been hanging around Eric Bieniemy today. Go back and listen to this interview today. He gave you like 7 Eric Bieniemy-isms. We'll talk about it all day tomorrow. Le'Veon Bell's a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're the Drive. We're out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.